At 60 years old, Wendy Rogers considers herself lucky. She's healthy, her kids are grown. There's just one thing that gets her down: health insurance.
I really don't let myself think about it because it overwhelms me.
Rogers lives in Franklin, in a tidy apartment decorated with framed photos of friends and family. She lost her insurance 3 years ago after getting laid off from a local school district where she was a kindergarten aide. Now she works part-time at a child care center. Rogers says she relies on family for medical expenses.
Like when I needed glasses, my daughters paid for my glasses. When I had to have a tooth removed, I called my daughter from the dentist's office, barely able to talk. To have her help pay for the tooth removal.
Rogers classifies herself as the working poor. She earns less than $11,000 a year, enough to qualify for fuel assistance and food stamps, but in New Hampshire, not Medicaid.
In fact, you have to be poor plus something else, something that we call your category.
Lisa Britsolsky is deputy Medicaid director for the state. The categories she's referring to are poor and a child, poor and disabled, poor and pregnant, or poor and elderly. The architects of the Affordable Care Act said states must loosen Medicaid eligibility to extend coverage to all poor people. But then, says Deb Fournier, the Supreme Court threw that plan into flux.
No one imagined the Medicaid provisions would be modified by the Supreme Court decision, and the statute certainly doesn't imagine that.
Fournier is with the NH Fiscal Policy Institute, which supports expansion. She says the Supreme Court ruling that states must be given a choice on the matter, combined with other provisions of the law, created what she calls the coverage canyon.
And it works like this. Imagine a canyon. You have a cliff on one side and a cliff on the other side.
Atop one cliff are people with traditional Medicaid who fit the current categories. On the other cliff are all the people that will get tax subsidies under Obamacare to help them buy insurance. But only people earning between 100% and 400% of the federal poverty line will get those subsidies. The thinking was people earning less than 100% would qualify for the new expanded Medicaid. So Fournier says in states that don't expand, there's a gap.
Right, so they're sort of stuck in this no man's land.
And states are stuck with this problem unless they fix it themselves. Any changes to Obamacare would require Congress to act, not likely on such a polarizing issue. A local fix may also prove elusive. Cindy Rosenwald, a Democrat who sits on the House Finance Committee, says few colleagues even know about this problem.
I don't think there's a good understanding of the fact that the very neediest people will still be left out in the cold.
But not left out entirely. People without insurance do get care in medical emergencies and can often get seen at clinics with sliding scales. Greg Moore with the conservative group Americans for Prosperity says with state government already picking up a share of those bills, New Hampshire shouldn't rush to expand Medicaid.
Do we want to shift that safety net to a totally different safety net? Well, I think that the Senate says let's slow down and take a look at this very deliberately.
Senate Republicans pushed for a commission to study Medicaid before the state moves to change its program, something House Democrats agreed to avoid impasse. The commission must report back by October 15th. One thing it will look into is how or if the state should address the coverage canyon issue. For her part, child care worker Wendy Rogers hopes New Hampshire can figure out a way to extend her some support.
I must be very much like the children I work with. I don't understand why people can't help people if they need it.
For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman. It wasn't exactly a victory lap, but the president was in California last week praising an early success of the Affordable Care Act. Speaking in San Jose, Obama touted the California Exchange, which is shaping up to have 13 insurance companies competing for business and rates far below what experts predicted.
Now, none of this is a surprise. This is the way that the law was designed to work. But since everybody's been saying how it's not going to happen, I think it's important for us to recognize and acknowledge this is working the way it's supposed to.
The news in California may be good, but the picture is very different in some states. Rhode Island will have three choices, Vermont just two, and in New Hampshire, Granite Staters will have one, just one company to buy from.
Listen, when you have states that have very limited numbers of carriers dominating the market, this is not a significant change.
Linda Blumberg is a senior fellow at the Urban Institute. She says states across the country deal with this issue today and that high upfront costs keep new players on the sidelines, especially if there is an entrenched power. That's the case in New Hampshire, where Anthem Blue Cross controls the individual insurance market. It sells more than 80% of the plans here. When the exchange opens, it will get all that business too, in effect, a monopoly. But the president of Anthem, Lisa Girton, says the company won't be able to take advantage of its situation.
We have been working on designing our benefits and our products and our plans for a long time, long before we learned that there's unlikely to be competition, at least in year one. And so this idea that we now have a monopoly that we're going to exploit is just not true.
And while Girton stresses that Anthem welcomes more competition, she says that alone wouldn't drive down cost in any significant way.
The price of health insurance on or off the exchange is a direct reflection of the underlying cost of care.
Girton says the cost of care isn't set by insurers, it's set by providers, by hospitals and doctors. Alex Feldwebel agrees with that take. He's deputy commissioner at the New Hampshire Insurance Department, and he argues that because providers drive price, insurance company monopolies can actually be good things.
The way it works out is that competition in the insurance market doesn't necessarily help the consumer in terms of lower prices for insurance.
This isn't exactly Econ 101. According to Feldwebel, what you're buying with health insurance isn't just access to health care. What you're getting is a negotiator. Big companies like Anthem can walk into contract talks with more leverage. It can say to a hospital, we can bring you this many bodies if you give us a good deal on their care.
And what does the insurance carrier need to get a good discount? It needs to be big and have a lot of covered lives.
So if big insurance companies get even bigger by cleaning up in the exchange, Feldwebel is of the opinion that that could actually drive prices down. He does walk this idea back, though, saying that in the long run, more competition will be better for consumers. And that competition may arrive. David Crosby is executive vice president for MVP Healthcare. His company will sell in the New York and Vermont exchanges.
As things evolve throughout 2014 and the exchange within New Hampshire, we'll be monitoring that and evaluating whether we can be a part of that in 2015.
So it may not be long before consumers get at least some choice in their health coverage. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman. Earlier this month, the feds awarded the state's insurance department $5.4 million, money meant to pay for implementation of the consumer assistance portion of the new health exchange marketplace. But on an 8-2 vote, members of the Joint Fiscal Committee have put on hold using that money. They cited concerns over transparency and questioned if the department even had permission to apply for the funds. After the hearing, Insurance Commissioner Roger Savini sought to clarify the grant application.
We believe that we followed what the statute says right down the line. If anyone on the legislature thinks differently and wants us to do something differently, so long as it's within the bounds of the law, we'll do it.
As part of the Affordable Care Act, the state's partnership health exchange consists of two parts: the plan management piece, which gives the state regulation of the plans sold in the new marketplace. The second piece, the consumer assistance portion, provides resources to help shoppers use the new exchange. If the state doesn't accept the money, the federal government will take on that assistance role. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman. When Michael Justice was laid off from a local college last year, he lost a job he liked, a paycheck he needed, and an insurance plan he relied on. At 63, he's now buying a policy to cover him and his wife. The bill, $1,638 every month.
It's more than we pay for mortgage. It's more than we pay on property taxes, which in New Hampshire is saying a bit. It's more than we pay for heating oil. It's more than we pay for electricity. It's more than we pay for water. It's more.
Justice doesn't view this as an optional expense. A heart attack 6 years ago taught him the value of good insurance. And so the Peterborough resident was excited for the Affordable Care Act. With the available tax subsidies, his monthly premiums would drop by almost $400 a month. But that excitement faded when he heard Monadnock Community Hospital wasn't included in the plan Anthem is selling in the exchange. His primary care doctor is there, his cardiologist, eye doctor. Buying the cheaper insurance means losing their services.
And I've had experiences with having to change doctors. And it's difficult, you know. And where I can go in and see my doctor, or when my doctor is walking down the hallway into the emergency room, and there I am, he knows me, right? And I don't have to have that fear enhanced by the fact that I don't know who this doctor is coming in, who doesn't know me.
For its part, Anthem acknowledges that a more limited network of doctors will be an inconvenience for some. But in defending the plan before lawmakers, senior legal counsel Maria Prue says Anthem followed the law.
We understand that this isn't going to meet the needs of everyone, but that we set out to meet the needs of the majority of the population. And when we designed the network, we worked within the rules the way they are drafted in the network adequacy. And we meet those network adequacy requirements.
Those network adequacy requirements are laid out in what's called Insurance Rule Number 2700. State health policy analyst Tyler Brannon says the statute and regs are meant to guarantee people have access to services without unreasonable delay.
Both are intended really to set sort of a floor, a very basic network, really so an insurance company can't come to the state and sell you a product that requires you to go to New Jersey to see your physician. So to the extent that it establishes a floor, that's all it is.
The minimums are based on geography. For example, a plan needs a hospital within 45 miles or 60 minutes drive of customers. There needs to be at least two primary care doctors within 15 miles or 40 minutes drive. Similar guidelines exist in many states. New Hampshire's were written in 1997. Brannon says they haven't been updated since.
I think we need to reevaluate the rules because they've been around for so long to begin with, to the extent that you think about how medicine has changed, and we're probably due for a review.
Brannon cautions, though, that any change could add to the cost of health insurance. If you force a company like Anthem to include more, or say every provider, it loses bargaining leverage. That's good for hospitals, but bad for consumers. So while regulators may take a cautious approach, a proposed bill in the New Hampshire State House takes a different tack. It would require any insurance company that sells plans in the new health exchange to at least offer every hospital a spot in its network. First-term GOP Representative Bill Nelson of Brookfield says the change is necessary to level the playing field. A hospital-affiliated clinic in his own district was excluded from Anthem's plan.
Anthem gets to pick the losers and winners. I mean, that's the issue. It's just the whole thing is just not fair.
Back in Peterborough, Michael Justice agrees. He says costs can't be the only driver for how health plans are designed.
I don't think it's about counting beans. I think it's about counting quality of life and the lives you save.
Justice says he still hasn't decided what he's going to do. Lawmakers will begin making their own decisions on the issue in January. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman. New Hampshire's Medicaid program currently insures poor children, the disabled, and low-income pregnant women. Expansion would add 58,000 adults that earn less than $15,000 a year to the rolls. According to Representative Bill O'Brien, the state just can't afford to cover those extra people. And lawmakers, regardless of party, he says, need to accept that.
I'm really asking people to come out of their partisan boxes and to do what's right for New Hampshire taxpayers. This isn't something that we ought to say, I oppose it because I'm a Republican, I support it because I'm Democrat. It is something we have to say, is this a obligation that New Hampshire can permanently take on? And I tell you, it really isn't.
Expanding Medicaid will cost New Hampshire about $85 million. The federal government picks up the rest of the tab, estimated at $2.5 billion through 2020. Beyond that, costs are unknown. O'Brien says that should give the state pause.
It's like any other government program. It doesn't go away. You put the Medicaid needle into your arm, that addiction's not going to go away.
But inside the Health and Human Services Committee hearing, the debate was framed in different terms.
It's a blue-collar issue. It is a poor issue.
That's Mike Lessard, a cook from Dover.
And who we fight for in this state are the people that can't fight for themselves. You are fighting for the lowest common denominator of our state.
Doctors, nurses, and patient advocates also spoke in favor of expansion. So did Steve Onan with the New Hampshire Hospital Association. He said having 130,000 people uninsured in the state is unsustainable.
The hospital emergency room is not the place to receive primary care. But unfortunately, more and more of our families, neighbors, and friends across New Hampshire are turning to their hospital emergency rooms to receive care because they have no place else to go.
A small handful did speak in opposition to expansion. Pam Ian of Concord says the last thing health insurance needs is more government.
When someone else is footing the bill, there is little reason for the patient to conserve the use of resources and little incentive for the provider to keep costs low. And we're witnessing that today.
With Democrats controlling the House, a bill blocking Medicaid expansion isn't likely to pass. Republican leaders in the state Senate, meanwhile, call the future of Medicaid the single biggest issue facing the state. Governor Hassan is on record supporting expansion, but has offered few details on how the state will pay for it. We may learn more about that when Hassan presents her budget next week. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman. If you've got health insurance, you know it can be hard to get a routine doctor's appointment. GOP Representative Neil Kirk, who sits on the commission studying a possible Medicaid expansion, worries it could get harder.
As a public official, will I start getting calls from my constituents and saying, hey, I had to wait another 7 weeks for my doctor's appointment. My operation took much longer on the left hip than it did on the right hip.
Dr. Gregory Sohikian is well-positioned to field that question. He's an orthopedic surgeon and past president of the New Hampshire Orthopedic Society.
Typically, total hips and total knees are being done once they decide, okay, I want it done and I want it done soon. Usually, they're getting done probably within a two-month period.
Sohikian says even with an expansion of Medicaid, that wait time likely won't change because his specialty isn't short on physicians. Broaden the lens, though, and the picture gets different. Nationally, an aging baby boomer population and the influx of newly insured through so-called Obamacare will leave the country short by about 90,000 physicians by the end of the decade. Cleese Erickson with the Association of American Medical Colleges says New Hampshire, at least on a per capita basis, would seem prepared.
In terms of total active doctors, New Hampshire is above the national average and actually ranks ninth in terms of the physician-to-population ratio.
Erickson says the state ranks fifth in the ratio of primary care doctors, but not all of them take patients covered by Medicaid, meaning those that do will be further stretched. The Affordable Care Act saw this problem coming and put extra money aside. This year and next, primary care docs will get reimbursed for treating Medicaid patients at higher Medicare rates. Tess Kinning says that could help increase services at community health clinics. She's president of the Bi-State Primary Care Association.
As you get more resources into the health centers, then you can use those resources to then continue to build primary care capacity.
It may not be just doctors that fill that capacity. Physicians, assistants, and nurse practitioners are also gearing up for a possible expansion.
Nurse practitioners will have more opportunity to work within organizations that are expanding their primary care programs.
Jean Harkless is president of the New Hampshire Nurse Practitioner Association.
Nurse practitioners will have more opportunity to consider whether they want to start their own business.
Along with primary care needs, there's concern that the state's already strained mental health system won't be able to handle an influx of new patients. Jeffrey Fetter is president of the NH Psychiatric Society.
Having more people with Medicaid does not put more psychiatrists in New Hampshire.
Wait times at community mental health centers vary, but most facilities currently can see new patients within 10 business days. And like other health clinics, Medicaid expansion means these nonprofits could get paid for the patients they currently see for free. Nancy Frank with the North Country Health Consortium says the reimbursement issue is especially important in Coos County, where doctors are already in short supply.
It's a challenge to recruit doctors to the area because they really have to want to be in our rural communities and they have to be able to find what's necessary for them and for their partners and their families.
The commission, meanwhile, will continue to debate the necessity of Medicaid expansion. A potential doctor shortage is just one of the issues involved. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman. Speaking at the Republican National Convention last summer, Senator Kelly Ayotte offered this example for why she thinks Obamacare won't work.
Just a couple of months ago, a successful restaurant owner in Concord, New Hampshire, told me about his dilemma. He wanted to open up a second restaurant and hire more employees. But you know what? He realized that if he did, he would trigger penalties under Obamacare.
Those penalties can run high, as much as $2,000 per employee for any business with 50 or more employees that doesn't offer health insurance. And while an overwhelming majority of New Hampshire's large companies do currently provide insurance to workers, that's not the case for some retailers and restaurants. So Mike Summers with the New Hampshire Lodging and Restaurant Association welcomes news of the delay.
Well, I think it's a little bit of a relief at this point.
Instead of kicking in January 1st of 2014, the employer mandate is now pushed back a year along with the penalties. Summers says companies can use the time to continue assessing their options.
More than anything, this will just allow more time to educate business owners, get them up to speed on exactly what they need to do, when they need to do it, and all those kinds of pieces of the puzzle.
And it is a complicated puzzle for some businesses, especially those with seasonal or part-time employees. There's been concern that some firms would cut benefits since a $2,000 tax is likely less expensive than offering health insurance. Steve Gerlach is a tax attorney with Bernstein Schur. He advises companies on the Affordable Care Act and cautions his clients to think long-term about how decisions impact the workforce.
If we cut coverage, or if we don't offer coverage, are we going to be able to hire the people that we need?
are we going to keep the people that we want to keep happy?
Gerlach says there is one group happy about the announcement: lawyers.
Anytime there's a major change in law, I mean, it certainly helps us. I thank God and Congress every day for my job.
There is no change in law to the individual mandate of the Affordable Care Act. That provision still kicks in January 2014. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman. Anthem is dropping 10 New Hampshire hospitals from its provider network for all individual policyholders. That includes plans bought both inside and outside of the new health exchange marketplace that rolls out October 1st. It doesn't include employer-sponsored plans. Anthem President Lisa Gerton says the move allows them to lower rates by 25% compared to what the price would have been with all of New Hampshire's 26 hospitals included. She says carriers around the country are making the same calculation.
Anyone who really kind of dug into what do we need to do differently on the exchange, probably reached many of the same conclusions, that we really have to make sure that we're doing everything we can to control the affordability of the product.
Anthem is the only company that will offer plans in the exchange. Republican lawmakers have pounced on the news. Senate President Chuck Morris says President Obama's promise that people would be able to keep their doctors under the health law was, quote, hollow. He's pressing to find out why these reductions were necessary. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman. At an event organized by the New Hampshire Women's Health Network and Planned Parenthood, Senator Shaheen praised the law as the single biggest advancement in women's health in her lifetime, and she urged participants to fight back against what she calls misinformation.
If you listen to the rhetoric in Washington, one would think that when the law goes into effect with the exchanges on October 1st, that the world is going to come to an end, or certainly America as we know it. The fact is, it's having a real positive impact already on people's lives.
Shaheen points to the law's requirement that women now can't be charged more for the same insurance plan as men, that copays for contraception are eliminated, and that women have more access to preventive benefits. Shaheen, who voted for the law in 2010, says she expects challenges as the major components roll out in the next few months, but she calls a plan supported by some Republicans to repeal funding for Obamacare or shut down the government a, quote, crazy notion. Senator Kelly Ayotte also says she will not support the House's legislation. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman. The Fuller Public Library in Hillsboro hosts book groups, a story hour for preschoolers, and the occasional knitting workshop. Also on the calendar this month, an hour-long presentation on the Affordable Care Act.
Tonight, this is probably going to feel like you're drinking from a fire hose. There's a lot of information, and there's some things that are still yet to be announced. But there will
Kelly
be
Clark is state director for AARP. She runs through a slideshow for a group of about two dozen residents. It touches on all the main points of the law, the exchanges, the mandates, subsidies, and Medicaid. AARP is putting on 25 of these events at libraries and churches. Clark says they've been well received, even if she can't answer every question.
We don't have all the definitive answers, so sometimes we just don't have the information because we're in some ways, you know, building the bridge as we're walking over it at the same time. So that can be a little bit frustrating for people.
AARP isn't the only one out there fielding questions. Insurance department officials are also hitting the road. They've put on events aimed at brokers, doctors, and providers, and small business presentations. There's also this radio ad from NH Voices for Health geared toward families.
I'm Marcy. I'm a working mom from Portsmouth. Like so many of you, health insurance has been out of reach for my family for too long. That's why I'm excited that things are changing for the better.
But compared to other states, New Hampshire's education campaign is pretty low-key. There's no local musician-led push like in Oregon.
Happy and strong, live long in Oregon. Long live.
And no Paul Bunyan on water skis like in Minnesota. New Hampshire's effort may soon get more horsepower, including $5 million worth of federal money. The grant had been blocked by Republicans, but the insurance department found a way to redirect the funds, and Boston-based Public Consulting Group will now coordinate a statewide marketing and education campaign. Aaron Holman with PCG says it may seem like New Hampshire's behind schedule, but
really the important thing to note in all this is that, you know, October 1 is kind of the start line, definitely not the finish line. We've got time to get folks educated.
But critics of the law, like Republican Senator Andy Sanborn, predict the end result of all the marketing and the new health law itself will only be more confusion and frustration.
I think we're going to have an exceptionally difficult next 12 months with people not really understanding all of the requirements and all of the mandates and now the limitations of implementing the ACA. people are going to be upset.
At the AARP event in Hillsboro, Gene Moore isn't upset. The 68-year-old came to learn more about a law that won't even directly affect him.
I personally don't need it. I get VA coverage and my wife's on Medicare. But like a good dad, I want somebody to ask Dad, what do you do? Who do you call? So I have a notebook and I write all the answers.
And he offers this advice for those still with questions.
Just keep looking. If you don't ever find it, then you never found it, but you know you did your part.
Some Obamacare wisdom from Gene Moore, Hillsboro, New Hampshire. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman. New Hampshire is one of just a handful of states that hasn't yet answered the expansion question. Remember when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on the federal health law last summer, it said Washington could not force states to expand the program that provides health care to the poor. States instead must be given a choice. And so, for the better part of 3 months now, a special commission has been studying whether to add 50,000 more low-income individuals to the program. The 9 voting members, including Democratic Representative Cindy Rosenwald, pored over reports, heard hours of testimony, and debated a range of different ideas.
I think we've done a lot of work on this subject. It's certainly the deepest dive I've done on anything in my 10 years here.
All that work produced a plan that supporters are calling a New Hampshire solution. Rather than just bringing the newly eligible onto Medicaid, people earning less than about $15,000 a year who get insurance through their job would have to keep that insurance, with the government picking up any out-of-pocket expenses. Everyone else would enroll in traditional Medicaid starting in 2014. The idea will require federal approval, but Health and Human Services officials say the okay could come quickly from Washington. Still, there was disagreement on the potential cost to the state. Charlie Arlinghouse, a Republican appointee to the commission, warned that the number of enrollees may balloon beyond estimates.
Everybody around this table thinks there are a lot of people in our society who are in a difficult place, and that to the extent that we are a wealthy society, we should do what we can to help out those people who are in a difficult place. However, there are financial concerns about it.
Arlinghouse favored capping the number of people that could participate. He also wanted to kill the expansion if costs exceeded projections by more than 10%. But the majority rejected those ideas. Democratic Senator Peggy Gilmore said the commission shouldn't limit the ability of lawmakers to make their own decisions down the road.
I have confidence that future legislatures can essentially think for themselves.
And Gilmore has confidence the federal government will meet its funding commitments. Under the Affordable Care Act, Washington promises to pay 100% of the bill for expanded Medicaid for the next 3 years. By 2020, that funding drops to 90%, leaving New Hampshire with an estimated $20 to $30 million annual tab. Republican Representative Neil Kirk worries that could lead to an income or sales tax.
As a result of this plan, should it go forward, it is very likely that starting in 2022 and beyond, we are going to have to implement another major revenue source.
Along with his fiscal concerns, Kirk also pushed a welfare-style work requirement.
A person who is financially eligible, and age eligible, obviously, needn't work at all, can stay at home on the hammock, and doesn't have to do anything. Is that the situation? That simply because you're alive and poor, you receive this health care, and you don't have to do any work if you don't wish to?
The work requirement was rejected on a 7-2 vote. State health officials say the federal government wasn't likely to approve that anyways. But before Washington gets its say, the proposal still needs to win approval from the full legislature. That's a foregone conclusion in the democratically controlled House, but not so in the state Senate, where the GOP holds a slim 2-vote majority. Republican Nancy Stiles, a potential swing vote in that chamber, did join the 5 Democratic appointees in supporting the commission's recommendation, but she cautions she hasn't made a final decision.
Because we do have concerns about future costs, we have concerns about over-enrollment, we have all those concerns. But I think those things can be dealt with as we move through the process.
The process now moves to Governor Maggie Hassan, who will call a special legislative session sometime this fall to put the issue before lawmakers. Hassan has said she wants Medicaid expansion to take effect by January 1st. In a statement following the commission's vote, she didn't mention any specific dates, but reiterated her support for expansion and her desire for a speedy resolution. So far, New Hampshire's approach to Medicaid expansion has been anything but. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman. Calling it wrong for New Hampshire, leaders of conservative groups including Americans for Prosperity and Cornerstone Action gathered in Concord to voice concern over a possible Medicaid expansion. They were joined by Republican Representative George Lambert, who says the federal government has a poor track record in meeting its funding commitments.
The reality is when the government shows up and says, hi, we have a solution for you to this problem, and we're going to fund it, you should panic.
Lambert calls an expansion of Medicaid benefits to roughly 50,000 more low-income individuals a risk the state can't afford. After spending the summer studying the issue, state lawmakers will take up the expansion question in a special legislative session starting next Thursday. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman. The House floor rang loud with conversation Thursday morning as lawmakers who haven't all gathered since June dusted off their seats.
The House will come to order. This date, being the date set in the call for a special session by the governor, I now call the House to order.
And with that, lawmakers launched 2 weeks of debate that leaders all say they hope can produce a plan that works for the state and can win federal approval. Democrats in the House favor a plan vetted by the commission that spent the summer studying expansion. The proposal would provide health insurance for individuals earning up to about $16,000 a year. People who currently get health insurance through their job would have to keep that private coverage, though Medicaid would pick up the tab for any out-of-pocket expenses.
Well, I think that what the House has put forth is a plan that is workable, that is highly likely to succeed, and that is cost-effective.
That's House Speaker Terry Norelli. She was less enthusiastic about what might come out of the Senate.
We do still have some concerns about the ideas that have been brought forward to us from the Senate, about the workability of them, and particularly about the timelines.
Senate President Chuck Morse, meanwhile, said what the House is proposing will need to change to fly with Republicans.
Expanded Medicaid, as they're presenting, is not acceptable to the Republicans in the Senate.
To hear Senate Republicans talk, it's unclear if they could support any proposal that contemplates actually expanding Medicaid. What they want to do is use federal funds to provide private insurance. The money would flow through a trust rather than the state budget. By 2015, they hope to have everyone who doesn't get insurance from their job shop for a plan through the new insurance exchanges, the same exchanges Republicans and some Democrats have been slamming for their operational glitches. Senate Majority Leader Jeb Bradley acknowledged the exchange is far from perfect, but says overall, the plan protects New Hampshire taxpayers.
Unlike Washington, which is saying, do it our way, we want to provide a New Hampshire way that encourages that personal responsibility, that moves people into private insurance, and yes, uses federal funds to do so.
That personal responsibility could include mandated job training or career counseling for able-bodied recipients, as well as nominal monthly premiums. No other state has tried the Senate's approach, and the likelihood that it would be approved by the federal government is unknown. But it does expand health coverage to more low-income Granite Staters, and it's supported by Republicans seen as key in this debate. Republicans like Nancy Stiles of Hampton. She backed the study commission's plan now being championed by the House and invited Governor Hassan to give this plan a fair look.
With focused attention, the right people working on the process, and our governor's leadership, we can get this done. And I believe we can get it done during this session.
Much of the action in the coming days will take place behind closed doors, where negotiations with the governor continue to take place. Hassan publicly praised Republican senators for their efforts to date.
I am heartened by the fact that folks I might call Medicaid expansion skeptics in the Senate are coming forward with their own ideas and plans, and I am open to all ideas.
All ideas, Hassan stressed, so long as they extend health coverage to more people and do so in a timely manner. She set a goal for getting this up and going by January 1st. With a final vote on expansion scheduled for November 21st, that could be a very tight timeline to meet. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman.
A big day in the world of health policy, nationally and in New Hampshire. State regulators are still trying to gauge how to handle the president's offer to let consumers keep canceled insurance plans. And in Concord, lawmakers continue to negotiate over Medicaid expansion 1 week into a special legislative session. Here to break it all down for us is NHPR's health reporter Todd Bookman. Hi, Todd.
Good afternoon, Brady.
Let's start with Medicaid. Today's the halfway point on the two-week-long special session that will decide if and how the state expands the health program for the poor. So where do things stand today?
Well, up in the air, Brady, for right now at least. There are still two different bills, one in the House, one in the Senate. The plans essentially start in the same place. Anyone who makes under about $16,000 a year would be eligible for Medicaid in 2014. If they already get insurance through their jobs, though, they would have to keep that insurance. Everyone else, and we're talking roughly 30 to 35,000 currently uninsured people, that group would enroll in one of the new managed care plans that all current Medicaid recipients are transitioning into at the moment. Here's where things differ. Republicans in the Senate want to move that group into the exchange after 1 year. So the federal government would basically be paying for them to buy insurance through the private marketplace.
And then what are the Democrats proposing?
The Democrats, being led by Governor Hassan, put forward an offer yesterday that moves them toward the same basic concept, but on a different timeline. They say that rushing to move people into the exchange in 1 year may not give enough time for other insurers to begin selling products on the exchange. Anthem, you'll recall, is the only vendor in 2014. There's no guarantee that other insurance companies are going to start selling plans in 2015, though an extra 30,000 potential customers would likely entice some. But it takes months, if not longer, to get plans negotiated and priced and approved by regulators. So Democrats want to slow down that transition to the exchange. The Senate says if the will is there, New Hampshire can make this work.
And it doesn't sound as if the two sides are that far apart, or are they?
That's actually tough to know. While we had hearings today where committees approved these two concepts, the real negotiations continue to take place behind the scenes. There will likely be public posturing right up until November 21st when a final vote takes place. Indeed, the governor has scheduled a press conference tomorrow morning on this issue. But, you know, still unclear where this thing will end.
Well, the other big news of the day is President Obama's announcement that he will let insurance companies keep selling policies that don't meet the new regulations in the Affordable Care Act for an additional year. How does that then affect New Hampshire?
Anthem, the state's largest carrier, sent out cancellation notices to 22,000 customers last month. But we still don't know yet for certain if those customers will be allowed to keep those plans. Here's why. The president is leaving it up to state insurance regulators to make the final call on if insurance companies can still offer the old plans. New Hampshire's insurance department hasn't yet made an announcement on what it plans to do. They say they're still weighing the options.
Now, why wouldn't the insurance department go along with what the president is proposing?
The concern that regulators may have, and that insurance companies are certainly expressing, is that if you let people that like their current plans keep their current plans, it alters the risk pool. That is, healthier people may hold on to their bare bones plans that don't meet the new mandates of the law. That puts the sicker people into the marketplace, since they likely want the better protections and the lower out-of-pocket costs available if you shop through the exchange. That could impact premium costs down the line. We saw today Washington State's insurance commissioner already announced that his state will not allow these canceled policies to be extended. We should learn tomorrow what New Hampshire is going to do.
But if you renew your policy, that would mean you can't access the tax subsidies that become available January 1st.
Right. You couldn't get those tax subsidies. The other thing to remember is that whether New Hampshire decides to take the president up on his offer, tomorrow, November 15th, is the current deadline for people who want to renew their plans. So for people concerned about the narrow network, the fewer hospitals and Anthem's plan starting next year, that may be a good option. But again, you can't get subsidies if you renew by tomorrow on those products.